You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. The former FTX crypto tycoon is found guilty on all counts of fraud and conspiracy. I'm David Brancaccio. One of the biggest fraud cases in American history came to a quick close yesterday. After just about 4 hours of deliberation, a jury in New York convicted Sam Bankman-Fried, the founder of the collapsed cryptocurrency exchange FTX. Prosecutors said he stole at least $10 billion from customers. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Yeah, guilty on all 7 charges of fraud and conspiracy, which could add up to as much as 110 years in prison. And for all the complexities involved in the cryptocurrency world, federal prosecutors in the Southern District of New York ultimately presented a relatively simple case. Here's how Carl Tobias, who chairs the law school at the University of Richmond, explained it.
It was portrayed by the Southern District as garden variety fraud. And that was easy for the jury to understand. And it worked.
Garden variety fraud. In fact, prosecutors painted a damning picture of Sam Bankman-Fried, in no small part through the testimony of 3 of his closest allies at FTX and Alameda Research, which was the hedge fund where the stolen funds were diverted. Those 3 have pleaded guilty, including Caroline Ellison, 28 years old. She was chief executive at Alameda and testified that Bankman-Fried directed her to falsify documents.
It's, I think, unusual at these kinds of trials, but Bankman-Fried took the stand. What did he have to say?
It is indeed unusual. Bankman-Fried testified for 3 days and laid blame on Ellison and other subordinates. He said he failed to pay close attention to what was happening at his company. Now, this is an argument he's made publicly as well, and his attorneys say he will continue to fight the charges. And in the meantime, there's a sentencing hearing coming up, David, that's scheduled for March 28th of next year.
All right. We'll get the latest data on hiring and unemployment in about an hour and a half here. The median forecast is for 170,000 jobs to be added in October. That would be half the month before, due in part to the United Auto Workers off the job. The unemployment rate expected to hold steady, 3.8%. The National Retail Federation predicts holiday spending will grow between 3 and 4% this year. That would be the smallest increase since 2019, but would still result in at least $957 billion in sales, a record. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes has more.
One reason consumers will likely spend more money this year?
Because they have it.
Jack Kleinhend is chief economist for the National Retail Federation. He says shopping is part of the DNA of the American consumer, and the strong labor market means people feel pretty good spending what they're earning.
If you have a job and you feel secure about the future, that should be a confidence builder in spending.
Of course, things cost more now, too. Prices for goods are up nearly 1% from a year ago, according to the latest PCE price index. That means consumers are getting less metaphorical bang for their literal buck.
I think that inflation is finally catching up with the shopper.
Sucharita Kadali is a retail analyst with Forrester. She expects the higher prices will drive people to buy fewer items.
Say you're buying a Barbie dream house. In the past, people may have bought a few accessories for that dream house. Maybe you're just buying the dream house now.
Kadali says she expects spending to slow even more in 2024 as people deal with rising interest rates and prioritize other expenses.
Things like loan payments, debt repayments, housing payments, they're all much more important than discretionary items.
At least Barbie's dream house doesn't have a mortgage attached to it. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
Think of that $957 billion predicted in sales. That's nearly $1 trillion in holiday spending. Dow futures now little changed. S&P futures are down less than 0.2%. Apple stock is down more than 3% in pre-market trading now after the firm forecast sales this holiday quarter will be weak, with people especially in China not expected to buy all that many iPads and watches. You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
It has been 4 months since the Supreme Court blocked President Biden's plan to write off up to $20,000 in student debt for most people with federal loans. Now the administration has come out with a new, very different student debt relief plan. This is in early stages, and it needs to wind through an involved rulemaking process. But if some version of it is finalized, it could offer a new path to loan cancellation. Marketplace's Samantha Fields has that.
This new forgiveness plan would not apply to everyone with federal student loans.
The Department of Education is basically focusing on providing relief to five broad categories of borrowers.
Adam Minsky is a lawyer who works with student loan borrowers. He says those categories include
borrowers who owe a lot more now than what they originally borrowed, perhaps due to interest accrual and fees over time.
Borrowers who have been paying on their student loans for more than 25 years.
People who attended certain institutions that basically saddled them with unreasonable amounts of debt and didn't provide them with a clear pathway to generating income through employment.
People who should qualify for existing student loan forgiveness programs, but for whatever reason haven't applied.
And finally, there's sort of like a catch-all category for borrowers who might be experiencing some sort of extreme financial hardship.
For now, that's really all the detail there is. It's unclear, for instance, whether people who fall into one of those categories would get all of their remaining student loans forgiven or just some.
We're working through those issues. You know, some of these ideas are partial forgiveness, some are more complete.
James Quall is the Undersecretary of Education.
We're currently at one of the early stages of the process, but we're working as fast as we can.
The goal, he says, is to get debt relief to as many borrowers as possible as quickly as possible.
It's the White House trying to take another bite at the apple from a different angle where they might have surer footing from a legal perspective.
Betsy Mayotte at the nonprofit Institute of Student Loan Advisors says it will likely be about a year, maybe a little less or a little more, before anything is finalized.
This is not a done deal, and the proposals could change significantly before it is a done deal.
And she says any final rule could be challenged in court. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Kelly Silvera. Our engineers are Jessen Dooler and Nick Esposito. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.